generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalyn.
Alrighty, good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday already. I don't know, Crystalyn.
Yes, already. Oh, so
already
fast.
Or like, oh my God, finally? I'm thinking more finally.
No, I need it to be Monday.
Really?
Oh my gosh, I could so use like 2 more weeks of things.
Yeah, but if we're going to drop in, let's just drop in on like a Thursday. Does it have to be Monday? I can't.
No, I just, have a week's worth of stuff to do.
That just took the legs right out from underneath me of like, oh my God, like we're just going to fast forward right to Monday. No.
Rewind back to Monday.
Even that. Like, all right. It's Friday. Thank you. November 21st, 2025. Time for some Coastal Windage. It's going to be a great show. Okay. I just have to warn you. Frank the engineer is losing it, and he threatened me this morning before the show that he had all kinds of stuff he was going to lay out on the show. Out of one side of his mouth, while out of the other side of his mouth, lecturing me about the professionalism of the show. So, listeners, I leave it to you. Carol Hunter, our guest here, she's here from Coastside Country. Carol, am I right or am I right?
You are right.
Our booking agent, thank you for getting guests on the show. That signed the waiver that says Ruben is always right. Thank you, Carol. Okay, so Carol, we're going to be talking to you about Coastside Country. Line dancing.
That's right.
If I look a little anxious, I've got the like.
We're not going to make you do any line dancing if you don't want to today.
Even talking about it, it's just like, I don't know. It's just like PTSD from high school. You know the scene in 16 Candles where they're at the dance and Molly Ringwald comes out to like do her like crying thing in the hallway, and there's a scene of like a mom and a dad like literally dragging their like 13-year-old boy in and like opening the door and like kicking him in and shutting, and he's like, no, I don't want to go. And that was me. Okay, so this dancing thing is it's a little bit of a trickle cold sweat.
That's why line dancing is so great, because we tell you the steps that you need to do, so you don't have to get out there and decide what you need to do. You just follow the orders and dance along.
Oh, see.
You know, even you could do the electric slide.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have been known to do a chicken dance. Is that a line dance?
I don't think technically, but it's in the genre.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to get all into the genre of line dancing. Can't wait for that. I'm really excited about this because I've seen the videos of your group, and here's the prevailing sentiment that comes out of that. Just at a glance or even watching it for a while, fun.
That's right.
That's like it just leaps out and grabs you and says, look at how fun this is. Everybody's smiling. Everybody genuinely looks like they're having a fun time. Like sometimes I see groups that are doing something and it's hard, and so people are concentrating and they've got like kind of a grim look on their face, like if I could just get through this, you know, like without messing up. But then I see the videos of Coastside Country and it's just everybody's just having a great time. And Carol, yes, we need more great times.
Yeah, we're all about fun and community.
Okay, looking forward to that in the back half of the show. Another thing that makes me smile is the Colony of Coastside Arts Open Studios is this weekend. And even though I don't know how to do it, I love art. And especially when we see all of these local artists and the amazing things they're creating, often inspired by our Coastside community. So that's pretty cool. if we have time, because I think it's important and it is relevant to the, a lot of folks that live here on the coast side, including people that we know in the Truthmaker household, San Mateo County defrosts ice. Okay. And then in the back half of the show, our Shooting the Breeze live interview with Carol Hunter and Hillary Stamper, co-founders of Coastside Country. And we're going to want to know all about that. How did this come to be? And what is this all about? I know it's dancing, but I feel like there's a bigger...
There's so much
there's
more.
A bigger thing here. Okay, great. All right. Well, then my interns were well informed. See, Carol, I'm really like looking at this content for the first time. Those folks behind you over there, they do all the work. I get all the credit. I'm already doing it. Crystalline and I get all the credit. Frank, wake up, dude. Frank. Okay. Frank's commentary on our show thus far. All right. Air quality report, traffic and weather, be gone. This is what you need to know, especially if you're out there dancing. You want to know, like, do I need to bring my inhaler or not? And if it's on the coast side, the answer is pretty much 100% of the time, no. 0 to 50 on the scale is incredible. 51 to 100 is moderate. Today in El Granada, 17, which is pretty good. I mean, it's incredible, but only pretty good for El Granada. 8 in Half Moon Bay, 15 in Redwood City, 17 in Santa Cruz. And down in Echo Park, well, I guess I already kind of gave it away, but in Echo Park, California. 0. Oh, my. And if anybody is trying to get the windage bucks and they go and look up Echo Park, this is the most ironic 0 pretty much ever. Okay. Remember, windage bucks, call in. Why Echo Park? Why? We'll see if anybody can figure it out. Somebody figured it out last week, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it was T-Bone. Figured it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so we gave away some wind. What is going on? Stop with the reel-to-reel. Stop rewinding your reel-to-reel player over there, Frank, and get back on the show. Let's do this. Come on. Okay, holidays on the coast side. This is what's killing you right now.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
in a good way.
In the best way.
In a way, yeah, of course. let's rephrase that. Killing you with
fun. Taking a lot of my time. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get all into that. So, tree lighting and memoriam. When is that? That's coming up.
Day after Thanksgiving, so Black Friday,
okay.
At 6 o'clock at MacDutra Plaza. We will light up the city's tree, and we're going to have Abundant Grace doing sing-alongs and holiday karaoke. And
what is a memoriam?
So we have a spot on our website where if one of your loved ones has passed away in the last year or more, you can sign up and let us know that they have passed, and then we will dedicate a light on the tree to them. And then you can also, if you want, get an ornament that we'll put on the tree in memoriam of them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so tree lighting memoriam, that's the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. Then on December 5th.
That's the big night.
Right. At 6 p.m. So the tree lighting's at 6 p.m. Also at 6 p.m. on December 5th is the Night of Lights Parade, a Coastside tradition.
Woo-hoo,
Coastside we'll Country going to be in that?
We will.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And a block party. I mean, if Coastside Country's there, it's already a party, right?
Of course.
But it'll be a block party at, I guess, centered around starting at MacDutra.
Yeah, so this one's a little bit more sprawling, which is fun. So we've got Make It Maine that does a market on the corner of Maine and Kelly. We've got Seacrest School that is doing this whole fabulous kids area on the corner of Maine and Kelly. The parade will come down Main Street. And then IDES Hall has a whole party happening over there as well. So everybody come out and visit all the places. There's going to be a winter wine bar at the corner right across the street from Johnny's in our new corner shop there, the Garden Shop.
Okay.
It's going to turn it into like a lounge, which is cool.
Ooh, I just like the sound of lounge.
Yeah, winter lounge.
Nice.
Half Moon Flower and Garden. Whew, that was eluding me. 2 sips of coffee in.
And there it is. And suddenly it's back. You're back. And then 12-12. So the next Friday is at 6 p.m. again, this time on Main Street, the Ugly Sweater Party and Contest.
Yes, and we're going to have a sweater contest for people, sweater contest for dogs with the help of Hometown Mercantile. and we're going to have it at the cantina. And this is the year that we are going to start down the path of trying to get the world record for ugly sweater party, which is currently just a hair over 2,500 people. And our last two parties have had about 100 people. So
hold on. 2,500 is the record, and you previously high was 100, but you're shooting for the record?
Not to get the record this year, but to start putting the wheels in motion and get that in everybody's head that in the next couple of years, we would like to get that world record and take it from, I think it belongs to Missouri. So let's go co-side.
Okay. Yeah, that sure. Okay. That would be
if
pretty fun.
If you don't shoot for the stars.
I hear you.
What are you doing?
I hear you. Okay. And then it culminates on December 19th with a showing of the movie Elf and a spaghetti feed.
Yes.
And then you can just collapse, right?
Sure.
Or you have to start planning for next year. Or planning for Pumpkin Festival at that point.
Well, then we roll into, State of the Coastside and other January events, and there might be a move in there and all kinds of things.
Yeah, right. Okay. You were on the Coastside News podcast. What's it called? It's called like About Us or something like that.
About Town, I think.
Yeah. So you were on that. You can go check that out. I guess wherever you get podcasts. I don't do podcasts. So, but go check that out. Crystalyn was on there. She's everywhere because she's a very important person. And so you can go and hear more about, I guess, potentially the office moving and the closing of the Opportunity Center and other topics like that. Okay. Here's a topic haven't heard much about lately. Remember that gondola idea? Yeah.
Skyway. Uh-huh.
For those of you who've had your earbuds in the last 3 years, the Coast Skyway, was I'm putting in air quotes, an idea to build an elevated tramway from the 280 over to Half Moon Bay, basically following the Highway 92 corridor over the hill. In fact, the last I heard about this, the city had been convinced to pony up some money for a feasibility study, but that was at least a year ago, and do we have Frank? Really, you're playing around with all that. You don't have my cricket sound queued up. The cricket sound. Those are those weird Australian, tree crickets that sound like an air horn. Well, we're going to have to get a friend of the show, Matt OJ, back on the air to give us an update. Listeners will know is beyond dubious about this project from the drop. It does not make any sense. There's no money for it. Carol. What's your position on the gondola?
I think it's a very strange idea.
Okay.
It might be fun to be in it if it existed.
I mean, as a one-off, you're like, yeah, I'll take... Or when visitors, when friends come, like, let's go take the tram.
But there are lots of things that could be fun that probably you don't want to invest your money in.
Exactly. So this was proposed and promoted by a business professor at the College of San Mateo, Peter von Bleichert. Whose great-grandfather built Germany's first aerial ropeway in 1872 from Professor von Bleichert. The coastal range portion of State Route 92 from San Mateo to Half Moon Bay is an exemplar of how aerial wire ropeways can alleviate traffic, maintain connectivity in natural disasters, except, of course, I guess if the power goes out.
Or there's an earthquake and it falls down.
Oh, right, or high winds or improve quality of life of residents and spur economic development and urban renewal, because the urban blight that is Half Moon Bay, we've got to get that urban renewal going. Nice research, Professor von Bleichert. How much will this cost? He says, just $100 million. I mean, phase one, $65 million, phase two, $56 million. That doesn't add up to $100 million, but that's was the total cost. Okay. Funded by general transport funds, potentially crowdsourcing. Okay. I mean, I'm not even buying the $100 million, but we're going to crowdsource $100 million. If we're going to crowdsource $100 million, let's get a big natatorium complex for Half Moon Bay instead of a tramway that, is going to go out of business after a couple years. And don't tell the Harbor District about this. The way they're monetizing and commercializing everything around the harbor, they're going to want the terminal there at the harbor to justify the parking lot they want to build. I mean, that would be perfect, right? Well, we have a parking lot, so now we need some reason to use it. So let's get the gondola. I bring this up. Why, Ruben, nothing's happened. Why gondola talk? Well, because apparently the music man who's going around trying to sell towns like Springfield the monorail and the aerial tramway, apparently he's moved down the coast to L.A. Saw this item in the news last week. L.A. City Council urges officials to stop proposed Dodger Stadium gondola. Apparently there was a proposal on the table to build a gondola from downtown Los Angeles to Dodger Stadium. Okay, so Von Bleekert says 6 miles or whatever it is from 280 to $100 million. For a distance of 1.6 kilometers, or as they say in America, 1 mile, it's proposed to cost $500 million for this aerial tramway in L.A. Now, I know property values are a little more expensive there, but I think you're a little off on your money, Von Bleekert. And that was for a mile, $500 million. So that's that's $500 million a mile. So 6 miles, it's, what is that, $3 billion? Ouch. Okay. Right. But last week, the Dodger Stadium gondola hit some turbulence. City Council voted 12-1 on a resolution to tell the L.A. County Metropolitan Transportation Authority no. Just as a side note, Mayor Karen Bass, before she was mayor, was on the L.A. County Metropolitan Transportation Authority. So I just feel like there's a whole bunch of like people pushing agendas here to get a gondola. All right. There was supposed to be private funding for this, and nobody is stepping forward for that. Just like yours truly, Councilmember Eunices Hernandez, who introduced the resolution to say no, said the city needs meaningful public transit solutions, like maybe a light rail or something like that, or a tunnel, not a gondola, and a gondola doesn't qualify as meaningful public transit solutions. Quote, Council Member Hernandez, is a private development scheme disguised as transportation designed to raise the value of a billionaire's parking lots, not to serve working Angelenos. The Dodgers, who would, of course, been this is like the one in Portland where people are trying to say, oh, no, they can do it. They've done it in Portland. The one in Portland goes from a station in Portland up to a hospital. It's out upon a hill. There's not a bunch of other stuff, and people are taking it to commute, to work. It goes from one place to another, just like this one would. So who's going to benefit? Dodger Stadium and the Dodgers. Yeah, and so they're calling it an innovative project that would improve the fan experience. Exactly. Improve the fan experience. Do nothing for actual transportation, because people are like, well, then everybody's going to drive to the downtown L.A. terminal of this and have to park there. Yeah, problem solved, L.A. Good job. All right, so anyways, and again, this reminds me so much my favorite episode of The Simpsons called Marge versus the Monorail, which is like a parody of The Music Man. So they've got a character that's dressed up like The Music Man, and he's going from town to town selling a monorail. Hillary's here. Hillary Stamper's here. Good morning, Hillary.
Morning.
Slide along up to the mic.
I'll give you mic instructions. You have to go talk like this into the mic.
Say hello.
Morning.
Morning. See, I'm already in the vein of it. I said sidle on up. I bet there's some sidling that goes on in line.
Sidling and giddy up.
Sidling and giddy up. See, I'm just a natural, right? All right. Anyways, where a con man comes to Springfield and convinces the citizens that a monorail will solve all their problems. Yeah, and this is why it's so perfect. It's such a statement on grift and groupthink, as the music man gets the whole town of Springfield to be chanting, monorail, 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 with eyes glazed, monorail. And I kind of feel like that's what happened a little bit here a couple of years ago. And like I said, in the last couple of years, haven't heard one peep about a gondola. Again, we'll have to get Matt OJ on the show. We did a 4-part series with Matt where he tried to convince me that the monorail was, or the gondola. I mean, monorail, I might actually go for a monorail. Like, BART kind of looks like a monorail sometimes when you're driving next to it on 280. I might go for a monorail. But a gondola, eh. All right, let's not forget the, as we're talking about events that are happening on the Coastside, the greatest show on the coast, the annual Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside fundraising gala is tonight at the Ritz Carlton, Half Moon Bay. Always an epic event, fun, filled with fun, creative themes and decor. And the, it's at the Ritz, so, I mean, you know, that's always nice when I drive up there in my 1975 hoopty with the fender, with the bumper falling off, and I get the guys to valet park it. That's always fun. They're always like, are you working? Are you here to handle the custodial? No, you're down over there. I'm like, no, I'm a guest. It's hard. It takes a few minutes to convince them. Maybe the, like, two singles that I'm offering as a tip are not really conveying the idea that I'm a high roller. No. All right. There might be a couple tickets left. You should check it out if you're interested. Mrs. Truthmaker and I were planning on going, but the Half Moon Bay High School football team is just too darn good. Last week in their first playoff game, after trailing 14-0 in the first half, the team rallied to win on the road versus Burlingame 29-21. And so they've moved on tonight. They play the number one seed, Branham High School in San Jose. Mrs. T and I will be down there rooting on the Cougars and our son. Mark Newton, the Boys and Girls Club Executive Director, is a coach for the team, so he has a very hard decision to make. But he will be there at the gala. And by the way, Mark has a background in theater and performing arts. So this year's gala is going to be, as the kids say, off the chain. I wouldn't want to miss it. And Carol's laughing at me because I'm an old man trying to use slang that was hip 20 years ago.
We're laughing at it because one of our favorite dance songs is called Off the Chain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
God, I'm just...
You're really hitting all the marks.
I am. I mean, sometimes, you know, what can you say? Okay, Colony of Coastside Artists Open Studios is this weekend. Listeners of the show know that, like, when I'm doing my shopping for gifts, holiday, whatever, it's locally sourced. Okay, something from the Coastside that says Coastside, that this is where I live, this is the beautiful place. And so people, you're getting stuff from the Coastside.
You know, a great gift is Coastside Country merch.
Oh, you have merch?
We have merch. Yeah.
I've been all over the website.
Yeah, go to our website, okay. CoastSideCountry.com. Uh-huh. Go to the contact page, and there's a link to our store where you can buy amazing t-shirts like this one.
Yes.
Sweatshirts. You're not wearing yours. Yep, but awesome stuff.
Well, okay, so we'll just, we're flexible on the show. We can, you know, well, I'm not that physically flexible, but I pretend to be. So we'll just ping pong. Who designed the logo? I mean, that's an amazing logo.
Hillary designed it.
Hillary, step up to the mic here. I just know it's hard for me to understand how people come up with great things and then execute them. So are you an artist?
I've done a lot of digital art over my career. And so, yeah, it was kind of a collaboration with Carol and working with Canva to come up with ideas that represented Half Moon Bay. So we have our moon and our wave. And then we really were a lot of country logos have hats, but we wanted to make sure that we really incorporated the boots because we're doing all our boot stomping. So it just ended up with the combo of what we needed.
I mean, people think, like, they see logos and if the logo's done well, people don't, it's one of those things where you don't really think about, like, oh, you know, there's an awesome logo. But to, like, sit down and conceive of an awesome logo is pretty impressive. And to me, this logo, it's detailed, it's layered, and yet it's also simple. And to me, the thing that I really like is the boots stand out of, like, that really says, and they're cool. They're somehow boots that are just, like, perfect for it, right? Not too aggressive, but comfortable, you know, whatever. And then, like you said, with the wave and the moon behind it, there's a lot of layers there that tie all those themes that you're talking about together. And yet it's not overly complicated and, like, too busy. It just, I feel like, conveys exactly what your group is trying to convey, which is fun, relaxed, and welcoming.
Yes. And also all about Half Moon Bay. And one fun fact is that the boots actually look like the first pair of cowboy boots that I bought, which I bought at Feed and Fuel here in Half Moon Bay.
Oh, nice. That is That is so awesome that you bought the boots at Feed and Fuel. Feed and Fuel is world famous. I was somewhere, I think we were in Montreal, Canada or something, standing in line, and the person in front of us had a Feed and Fuel hat. And so we like, hey, Feed and Half Moon Bay. Turns out they didn't live here. They had visited and bought the Feed and Fuel hat. But speaking of locally sourced, right? Right here in Half Moon Bay, the world famous Feed and Fuel. Love it. Okay, so if you're looking for that great locally sourced gift, Colony of Coastside Artists Open Studios is this weekend. It's the 17th annual, in case you're, you know, collecting the posters for Colony of Coastside Arts Open Studios. 10 to 5, Saturday and Sunday. That's this weekend. Over 100, Colony of the Coastside represents over 100 local artists with all kinds of mediums. On the weekend for the Open Studios, 55 artists and 32 studios from Half Moon Bay to Montara. Will open their homes and studios to share their work with the public. This has grown from the first one in 2010. This is the 17th, but 2010, 25 minus 10.
They probably didn't
15.
Do it during.
They did, maybe they did two? Well, I think they would have to do two if this is. I don't know. I'm getting caught up in math. It's not my strong suit, so I shouldn't even go there. But the first one only had 21 artists in six locations, so they're expanding. They've got a cool passport program. My sister collects passports. You know, sometimes you can go to state parks. They've got a little, like, pretend passport. You can get it stamped and stuff. So they've got something like that, which is cool. I might have to go just to get one for my sister. If you visit 8 of the participating studios and get it stamped, you'll be qualified for a drawing held next week to win some artwork. Well, that would be cool. Go to colonyofcoastsideartists.com for more information. I went and checked out the artists. And yeah, I want one of everything. Like they all, the problem is that Mrs. Truthmaker and I have, it's like, where are you going to put it in your house? You know, like I need like glass cases and museum stands and pedestals and wall space. Our house is configured that we don't, there's a lot of square footage, but there's not a lot of wall space. I guess there's a lot of cutouts and demi walls and stuff. So we have literally lots of framed art and pictures just sitting in a spare bedroom, like stacked up against the wall. Like someday we should put these up, you know, and then now they've got a layer of dust on them. Friend of the show and Shooting the Breeze live interview alumnus Natalie Down is one of the artists. She has some really cool ceramics that she'll be offering. Paintings, jewelry, photography, sculpture, pottery, weaving, and woodworking. Frank's giving me either the okay sign or the 3 minute to commercial sign. It's hard to tell. When we get to 1 minute, it's really hard to tell what he's signaling me. So let's take this email. The emails are always it's a game in Vegas, right? Am I allowed to say this word, Frank? If I'm going to Vegas to play the table, all right.
You've got mail.
No. All right, this is from listener Crotchety Rocket, and the subject line is just, come on, exclamation point. So this ought to be good. I asked the intern, Carol and Hillary are like, what do you mean? I asked the interns to select those people back there, to select at random from our hundreds of emails that we, so, and they always like want to get ones that kind of push my button, so it's... we'll see. All right, this is from Crotchety Rocket. The show has really gone downhill. Here, see? Nice way to start. It used to be a solid informational program focused on actual newsworthy current events like road closure, city council elections, and COVID. Now all I hear is frippery from next door, gibberish copied from post office flyers, and garage sale scuttlebutt. It's just so much regurgitated tripe. Wow. I mean, regurgitated tripe, that was the name of my band in college.
They're more than welcome and invited to become one of the interns to source the news that they want to hear.
Exactly. We have never positioned the show as a news program. From time to time, we'll break a story just on accident. But Crotchety, my friend, this is a live call-in talk radio program where Crystalyn and I gab about this and that in our community. So, dude or dudette, seems like Crotchety seems more like a dude.
I mean, they called themselves out. They give themselves an apt name, so I will give them that for self-awareness.
Okay, good, right? Or maybe no self-awareness and just bravado. But crotchety, dude, if there's a topic you want to discuss or hear about, that number to call is 650-560-9851. Call in and say something. That's what we're here for if you want to talk about something. Okay, we ready for our commercial break? Yeah, so Frank's been like really like flailing at me for like 10 minutes, it seems like. Now I ask him if we're ready for a commercial break, and he's like, what? Commercial break? Did we do a commercial break? All right, we'll be right back after this commercial break for some line dancing discussion. Some discussion about line. Oh, I love that. Okay.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side.
100.9 KHMP.
Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, this is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me along with Stan Warren Luttrell after Coastal Windage. We'll get a look at today in history and a brand new forgotten find. Coming up at 10 a.m. from 100.9 FM KHMB.
Okay, we're back, and I guess that's Frank's nod to Thanksgiving. Was that supposed to be a turkey, or was that like...
Yeah.
It kind of sounded like he was just rubbing a balloon a little bit.
No, that's turkey.
I believe that's his commentary on my performance today in the show. That's
also turkey.
Okay. Okay, well. Yes. All right. Wait a minute. You've got the...
It's Frank and I all the way.
You've got the rim shot queued up for any little thing that she says. Meanwhile, I'm just laying out comedy gems every show to crickets.
You know, Frank and I, we're...
I know.
We're a powerful pair.
Oh, all right, just before we get to the line, just because we had mentioned it, so the county did pass a resolution to strengthen their ICE non-cooperation policy. One of the important factors or points of that is that they are saying they're not going to cooperate with troops that are staging or training, and that they pass some additional restrictions on the wearing of face masks. And to me, the wearing of face masks is something that's really beyond the pale. That besides military being involved in more law enforcement type of things, which is its own red line that should not be crossed, the wearing of masks just takes this into like a really scary place, especially when people are being abducted off the street. So thank you to the county for thinking about its citizens and standing up to basically a campaign of fear. That's how I feel about it. Okay. We've got a phone call. All right. Wow. Okay. And this is Ruben, Crystalline, Hillary, and Carol. Who have we got on the phone this morning?
Parker of Penny.
Okay. So this is... Hillary and Carol, this is one of our most frequent callers. What's up, Penny Packer?
I missed the first half of the show, so I send my regards, but I just wanted to wish you and yours a happy Thanksgiving next week. Are you doing the day after Thanksgiving show like normal?
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. No, for the first year in like 2 or 3 years, we're giving the crew... You know, we're up to, I don't know, 17, 18 interns. It's a lot of people, and to ask them to, you know, some of them have to travel. So we decided to just give everybody the week off, like the rest of America, and except for maybe Crystalline. Crystalline's probably working all week.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the day of the tree lighting, so I will shoring all that up.
Okay. So answer, no show next Friday.
Oh, you said 2 or 3 years. Weren't you in, like, the Caribbean last Thanksgiving?
I mean...
According to your travel itinerary that you post?
Broadcast radio involves a ridiculous amount of money. So, yes, it takes a lot of effort to get rid of all of this extra time and money. So, yes, I was in the Caribbean last Thanksgiving.
I'm excited to hear your topic of line dancing, because I think I've heard that you know how to throw down the Macarena like nobody's business.
I mean,
like an Elaine-type dancing situation from Seinfeld.
Well, yes, I definitely can do an Elaine. Would an Elaine be allowed out in the line? So we're going to get into how the structure and stuff. I've seen the videos. There's lines of people, right? But if you – within your area, right, I guess as you're moving in sequence in the line, can you do crazy stuff with your hands or is everybody supposed to be in sync?
So you can definitely add flair, and we encourage flair so people can add, you know, extra kicks or designs. But you want to be kind of like – more or less doing the same move and especially moving in the same direction. Like, it's not great to have somebody just free dancing in the middle of the line. If you want to do that, you can kind of go to the side. But yeah, pretty much like anything, you know, you can add in whatever you want, but there is like a certain structure to it. So freedom within structure.
So I noticed you were looking at me when you said, well, you can move to the side. Also, I got caught up on the 15 pieces of flair. Like, yeah, 15 is the minimum, but we encourage more.
I just want to add on to that one of the reasons that a lot of people who don't feel comfortable dancing in general really enjoy line dancing is because you are in a group of people that's all doing the same thing. And so you don't have to feel like you're on tap to be creative. You just know what you're going to do. You know what other people are going to do. And then you do it together. So there's a lot of freedom in being able to experience music in a joyful way without the pressure of instant creativity or not being sure how to do something. And a lot of people love that element.
Well, let me flip that around and just go right to my neurosis immediately, which is, but...
You have a neurosis?
Oh, I forgot. We still have a caller on the line. Yes, Penny Packer, you're now the fifth. Our third guest here. Just join us in. But the question my anxiety would be like, but everybody else is. I'm going to do the wrong thing. Everybody's going to go right, and I'm going to go left and bump into somebody.
Let me just say the quote that I say every time in class. No one cares.
No one cares about what I'm doing.
No, but. If we're all there to have fun together, and yes, we try to create enough space so that if you turn the wrong way, you don't collide. But every once in a while, it happens, and people laugh, and it's okay.
Okay. All right.
It even happens to us where you just get spaced out and you turn around and suddenly you're facing everybody and you're just like, oh, hi, and then turn back around and carry on. So it's not a big competitive situation where you're trying to be the best or be perfect. You know, it's just everybody getting out there and moving together. And while you're learning, you're definitely going to make mistakes. And even when you are not learning, you might make mistakes. And that's part of the fun of it.
Yeah, you sound like an oldest child there, Ruben. Like, you have to be perfect. Like, nobody has to be perfect. And I have one word for you called alcohol that will inhibit your dancing freedom.
It will inhibit or improve?
Depends on the amount.
All right. Penny Packer, you've introduced an interesting topic that I want to get into with our guests here. So thank you for the call.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And thank you for those best wishes and same to you.
Bye.
Okay. All right. So how specifically country line dancing, how did that burble up into your consciousness and become this thing that's, you know, such a big deal?
I think we still have the community of Half Moon Bay to thank for that as well, because I only started listening to country music when my children were in high school and they picked up on country music. I fell in love with it pretty much instantly, but prior to that, I hadn't listened. And so I went down to see a John Party concert in Southern California, and there was this tent with these people, and songs would come on, and they'd all jump in and do the same dance together. And I was just absolutely entranced. It was, for me, more exciting than the actual John Party concert that was going on. And I came back, and I told Carol, we both were previously Lindy Hop dancers and had given it up when we moved to Coastside because there's just not a Lindy Hop scene. It's really far away. And so I told her about this thing. I'm like, I don't know what it is, but they all jump and do the same dance at the same time. And it's so amazing. So we did some research and then we found a line dancing teacher over the hill and decided we were going to go try it out. And so Carol and I, she rallied us to go to Line Dancing Lisa over in San Mateo. I think it was their Christmas party for the first time we ever went. And we just went over there and had the best time, realized that we had been missing something our entire lives. And so we just became groupies and started going. And then we realized that we were sitting in my living room dancing to teach ourselves dances so we could go over and dance. And we just kept saying, gosh, like, I wish that we had country line dancing here in Half Moon Bay. And why don't we have country line dancing here in Half Moon Bay? It's the perfect place. We are rural roots. We have this love of movement and this love of sports, very athletic, physical group of people in Half Moon Bay. And so we decided we would try to launch something. And do you want to take the story for there? Or do you want me to continue?
Yeah, I can start. Yeah. So, Hillary was, trying to get that going. And I was wondering if there would be a big enough draw, because Half Moon Bay is a little bit isolated. It's a smaller community, you know, over in the peninsula, they can draw from everywhere. And so she was like, let's give it a try. I was like, well, you know, we can see, like, maybe we'll get like 5 or 10 people to go to our thing. Hillary has connections with Parks and Rec. So we were able to get a class going at through Parks and Rec. And we had 60 people sign up for our first series. So we were totally blown away. We had just an amazing community from the get-go of people, you know, long time, people who have grown up in Half Moon Bay, and then people who have just moved here. We had people connecting with each other, you know, that, you know, we thought that they were best friends for life, but found out that they had just met in our class and now are hanging out together, you know, doing things. And it's just become definitely the community aspect of what we were hoping it would be. People are there to have fun. People are there to learn. We have people of all different ages. You know, people come with their kids. You know, they've got their teenage kids and their moms and dads. Whole families are coming. So it's just become like the community that we wanted to be, and it just continues to grow. So we're super excited about that.
So what exactly is Coastside Country? Is this a just like a organization of a club? Is it a performance troupe? Is it like a classroom instructional situation? Like,
I would say Coastside Country is both more than anything, Coastside Country is a community. Carol and I lead Coastside Country as our business, but it is what it is because we have an amazing community that shows up with love and energy and inclusivity that is just like so heartwarming. It's incredible. And I think everyone shows up. You tell people, oh, we're going to go someplace. There was a recent incident that blew my mind. We were just the last minute like, oh, I'm going to go to Taco Tuesday on our little, we have a little chat that just organically developed. I'm going to go to Taco Tuesday. And within an hour, there were 6 other RSVPs like, oh, I'm going to come to Taco Tuesday too then. And it, like, in a normal situation with a normal friend group, like 6 people RSVPing within an hour is like, that's a decent crowd of people. And my response in my mind when I saw the 6 people is, oh, we'll have a little bit of a small group tonight. And that group actually that night, like, we ended up with 12 people at San Benito House. And people met for Taco Tuesday, had tacos. And then we were like, okay, can we bring out the speaker? And, you know, for the next 2 hours, we just played music and danced in front of San Benito House. And that was just a random thing that happened because our community just loves being together and we love dancing and having fun.
I think it was on your website, like a flash country mob there at San Benito House.
Yeah.
But we also, just in general, we teach regularly at Parks and Rec. So every Thursday night, we have our lessons, and they're from 6 to 8:30. So we start with a beginner class, and we always start with a very basic dance that should be accessible for anybody, even new dancers. And then we kind of slowly get a little bit more complicated over time. Technically, the beginner class is from 6 to about 7:15, and then the intermediate, we have an intermediate class from 7:15 to 8:30. And we always kind of review older dances, introduce some new things. So over time, if you keep coming to class, you'll learn. And one of the nice things about line dancing is there's a lot of really basic moves. Like, for example, the grapevine, you know, is like a pretty standard move. And like, if you've never danced before, the grapevine might be a little tricky to learn. But like, once you learn the grapevine, you see it again and again and again in many different songs. So you kind of like build this vocabulary of dance moves. And so over time, if you kind of stick with it, then you just like are able to learn dances more quickly because you are seeing moves that you already know. And just able to kind of ramp up. And there's such a wide range. There's a very, very, very basic, easy dances that just only have a couple moves that are pretty accessible for most people. And then it can ramp up to some very complicated moves that, you know, are very challenging for even experienced dancers. So there's like just a lifetime of fun and learning and new things to do. I guess line dance has been going on for like decades, you know, so there's all these old dances, there's new songs coming out, there's people choreographing new dances all the time. So there's just a lot of material that makes it very fun.
I mean, this is kind of like when I try to force Mrs. Truthmaker to watch baseball. She's just like, it's so boring, like nothing happens. And I'm not saying that line dancing looks boring because you guys make it look so fun. No, I mean, I know when I'm over my head, but I guess the question would be like, in the clips I've seen, to my uneducated eye, I'm missing all of these intricate like sub moves that you're talking about. And so from my, when I look at the clips, I'm like, okay. You know, they it looks like the same to me. That's what I'm saying. It looks like the same dance every time.
I would say, well, it is comprised of a lot of the same moves, but some of the things that make it fun, even though it's repetitive, is remembering what combination of moves you're doing for a particular dance and enjoying the music and how it works with those moves. So that it's like a lot of dances when they're choreographed well, they will celebrate some element of the music that makes it particularly fun to do those moves to that particular dance. And I think when you start doing the dances, you start noticing where that happens. And an example would be like the dance Men in Black. It's a 32 count dance, just like many dances. And one of the last moves in the dance, you go walk, 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 and then you click your heels out in. And this music makes a like little clicking sound when the chance when you do the heels. And if you're just kind of watching, you might not think that it's a particularly clever, interesting dance flat out. But then when you actually experience it and feel the clicking happening with the sound of the music, it's like a very satisfying feeling. And there's a lot of thought put into many dances that accomplishes that.
I mean, I felt the trickle of cold sweat of like when you're like, there's a lot of things to remember and like, you know, the remembering things and the like keeping things not my strong point. So like that worries me of like,
oh my God. No, this is such my problem with line dancing. Let me just tell you that I forget all the things all the time. And the key is to, first of all, you're surrounding yourself with other people who are dancing. Many of us forget the dances, especially the beginner dances. They're very similar. So like remembering is hard, but that's part of why we do line dancing together as a group. It's like an activity of, hey guys, like, wait, I know this song. What is this song? Okay, wait, what's the dance that goes with it? And you kind of figure it out and then you do it. And so you have a whole song to work out the moves and like get yourself back into it. And then you have the people with more experience. They're like, oh yeah, guys, like Carol, she hears it every time and pretty much always remembers the dance. So you have someone like that, that's reminding you. Sometimes it's me. And then you do the dance, but it's a group activity for a reason.
Yeah. A lot of times you get a dance in your body memory, kind of like riding a bike or something. So like a lot of people are like, oh, I love this dance. How does it start? You know, all you need is somebody to start it. And then all of a sudden, once it starts, then it kind of floods back into your brain.
It's kind of like remembering the lyrics of a song. Like you hear that first beat and then you're like, oh, yes.
Exactly. And then you can sing the whole thing.
I remember that I learned this when I was
12. Exactly. Yeah. And one thing that I think is so interesting, so my day job is I work at Stanford with their employee wellness program for university and hospital staff. And so we have a lot of classes on, like, we have some classes on cognitive health. And, you know, there's a lot of things in line dancing that are just so, like, hit all the marks as far as, like, what we know research says to make your brain healthy. So it's, like, moving your body, you know, getting some aerobic exercise, being in community with people and socializing, and also doing learning like cognitive tasks and like having your brain learn new things. And so line dancing hits the mark on all of those things because you're learning these new dances, you're having remembering all these things, you're moving your body joyfully and with music, with the community. And so it's like so good for your body and your brain and your spirit.
Yeah, and don't forget about the research showing that dancing is actually just as effective as some medications for depression. Helping with depression. So that's another amazing fact.
Yeah, and you actually can see that, like, a lot of people will come show up to a dance night and they're like, they walk in, they're like, oh, I didn't even know if I could come. It was dark, like, it was rainy, like, I didn't want to leave. I had such a stressful day. I just want to, like, crawl into bed. And then, you know, within 15, 20 minutes, it's just like, your spirit is rejuvenated and you're just laughing and like, it's just a, yeah, great experience.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you really, I mean, coming from your wellness professional background, like you really, when you explain it that way, this is like the salve or the balm for all of this, you know, like every other article in my news feed is about dementia and what causes it. And yeah, isolation, depression, lack of challenging yourself mentally, and then the physical part too of like having some kind of exercise that you can do. And as people get older, they feel like, well, I can't go and play basketball anymore, or I can't do this or that. But this kind of like puts it all together in like a single package that is a fun social night out, but then has all these physical and mental psychological even benefits.
Right. And there's kind of like, I think there's also research about just having like a third space where, you know, people can be, you know, that is kind of lacking in our modern world where you have your work and your home, but whereas a place where you can be with your community of people and just be yourself, you know, show up, you know, what's going to be there. And so that line dancing becomes kind of the third space. And it's people, it's like something that can connect you with people from all over. Like Hillary has gone, her daughter's in at college in North Carolina, and so she'll like find line dancing, you know, going on there, and will just like show up in a totally different part of the country and immediately has this connection with people she's never met before, you know, because they are dancing together. And so you can kind of like have that connection with people all over the world. It's actually very popular, like in France and in Spain and Germany. So, you know, you could just like go to France and find out where they're line dancing there and like immediately have a connection with a local community of people, you know, anywhere in the world that are doing this kind of dance.
So it's the international language, line dancing.
Yes.
Well, that's an interesting point that you mentioned about the third space. And, like, you can come and feel the freedom to be yourself. Do you see that people come and they're like a different person? Like, it gives them the freedom to go beyond their normal person. Like, not in a bad way of, like, being a jerk or something, but just like they're able to step outside of their normal life and the freedom to be somebody different, something different for a couple hours while they're line dancing before they have to go back to the office or the house or whatever. Do you see both of those sides?
I would say that it's the person that we see is the person that arrives at line dancing. So it's hard to know how different they are outside of our line dancing community context. But what I do think is true is that we kind of do have this social media world that sort of shows only the like pretty side of a lot of life. And yeah. What I love about this experience is that it's completely real and with real people in the moment in real time, face to face. And it's just increasingly hard, I feel, to make those personal connections. And I feel like the lack of personal connections is a big part of the reason our country is having a hard time right now. And the more we actually sit down and get to know each other, the better our communities are going to feel and the more we will thrive.
So let's talk about that for a second, because I know that one, I wouldn't call it your mission statement, but you've got some really good explanation on your website about like kind of what your concept is of this and what its meaning could be to people. And so I guess at a first blush for me, when I think country music, there's a certain politics that comes with that. But I notice on your website, in your copy there, you were saying that this crosses those lines or blurs them or, you know, enables people to look beyond that. And the cynic in me and the non-believer in general, like, is that true, though? Like, okay, so is it the country Western crowd that just comes for this line dancing, or does it truly go across all boundaries?
I mean,
and how does that work then?
I think that it goes across all boundaries. And I think what's beautiful about it is that line dancing is something that has been a more rural tradition. It's something just so beautiful that I really wasn't aware of, but we've described all the reasons why it's an accessible way to communicate and connect with people. You don't have to like get deep into the politics of the world. You're just there together sharing space and supporting one another. And I think that is where connection in our country needs to start. It's not like discussing facts. It's not like debating issues all the time. It's who are you, and we're people together here, and I know you, and I can build some trust in you because we spend time in space together sharing something that we both love.
And I think now more than ever is a time where people like all different types of music, all different types of dancing. There's, you know, lots of people that, you know, can love country, can love hip hop, can love hardcore rap, can love classical, and you can be all of the things, and you don't have to be shoehorned into one genre or another.
Right. And we do have, we're called Coastside Country, and we do a lot of country dancing, but we don't do exclusively country. So we have a lot of other types. I mean, they're all line dances and they're all good dance type songs, but we don't stick exclusively to country music.
I saw you had some Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's
and some
right.
other things in,
yeah.
in your playlist. So
exactly.
like, okay.
Yep.
I mean, I could maybe bust out my leisure suit, and I was a hustle guy back in the day, so I could maybe do that. It's a line dance, right?
Yeah.
We actually did choreograph a line dance to a train song, Half Moon Bay, because again, we're all about Half Moon Bay. So we have a choreographed dance to Train's Half Moon Bay.
Oh, very nice. Again, connecting it all local. All right, we've got another phone call here. Okay, this is Ruben, Kristlyn, Hillary, and Carol, who's on the phone with us right now.
This is Sandy Brightside.
Sandy! Okay, so Sandy's the one that actually hooked us up with you two.
Oh, we know Sandy.
Right, Sandy was on the show last week. So Sandy, what's up? You're part of this group.
I am part of this group, and this interview has just been fantastic. Hillary and Carol touching on all of the aspects of why our community goes beyond just line dancing, like being part of the parades and hanging out at Taco Tuesday and all these wonderful things. And to your question about, do you have to like country music? Absolutely not. I didn't listen to country music at all, except for old school, maybe Kenny Rogers, you know, John Denver, if that counts, before this. So not only are we sort of falling in love with a whole new genre, it's not like what you're thinking. It's not like, political or country or, you know what I mean? It's like everybody, and we don't talk about politics, and we don't talk about religion, and we talk about like tacos and like what we like to do and like dances we like to do. And it's just, it's really, it's like everything that like should be making the country a good place is what they're doing here. So, I mean, I think if we did this in every town across America, it'd be a lot happier country. So I just want to thank Hillary and Carol for creating this amazing community for all of us.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you for helping us build it.
All right. And thank you for connecting us with these amazing guests, Sandy. Appreciate that.
You got it.
Okay. Talk to you soon, Sandy.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. So back to the, like, can everybody get along type of thing. I guess because I'm old, I'm influenced. My thoughts of this go instantly to the movie Urban Cowboy, which was like a lot of drinking and a lot of testosterone and a lot of like fights in the parking lot and stuff. But this is not that.
That's a people problem, not a dancing problem.
Well, but dancing was central to the movie. So that's why, like, this is my only connection. Right. So
dancing was a part of Footloose, which was all about breaking free of other people's determination. So dancing can be whatever the person wants it to be. Introverts, extroverts, shy, exuberant, tired, overwhelmingly happy. I mean, it's for everybody.
Yeah.
So don't, I don't want you to put your stink on it.
Yeah, it's interesting because the majority of our dancers are women, but we're not exclusively women. We have some amazing male dancers as well, but it's certainly, and it, because it's a, are we going to commercials, right?
We're at the end of the show.
Oh, at the end of the show? Oh, we got to leave.
That would go so fast.
Throw that out there, and we don't have time to answer it, but yeah, it's fun.
Okay, I really appreciate what you do, Coastside Country, and coming on the show and telling us all about it. Be prepared. The coastal windage, there's just like a huge exponential boost effect that our guests have when they come on the show. So I don't know if your servers on your website can handle this, but you're about to be flooded.
Thank you. I want to dance to this song.
And not next week because we're off. The week after, December 5th, U.S. Representative Sam Liccardo will be here in studio. Maybe we can convince him to go to like the OPL when you guys are line dancing there. I think that actually that would be an amazing kind of combo event because Sam is all about the coastside, getting him to come to a line dancing event and bringing everybody together. Oh,
definitely.
Okay. Do we have time for this phone call, Frank? Oh, caller, you got to be sooner. I'm sorry. We got to go. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.